Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now save $30 on the American-made Steel FS56 RCE trimmer. Real Steel. The FS56 RCE is made in America of U.S. and global materials. Offer valid through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details. Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $20 on the Steel MS-162 or MS-170 chainsaw. Real Steel. Offer valid through June 30th, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
I mean,
I was wondering, am I supposed to do it today?
Live from New York, it's the show that's without Kevin Wildes because he's busy trying to scrub the internet from all his Nuggets tweet proclamations. It's First Things First. On today's show, are Dak and the Cowboys Super Bowl bound, and do the owners of the Cowboys, Jerry and Steven, even believe that they could be Super Bowl bound? We'll discuss with Greg Jennings, who's back.
Yeah.
Also on the show, I mean, this feels mean. Has Joe Burrow already peaked? There's a medical reason we're asking the question.
Yes.
Yeah. The dart thrower's motion will make an appearance on today's show. I've been researching.
Really?
I don't have access to the doctors you call, but I have access to Encyclopedia Britannica, and I've been reading up. And finally, the committee convened last night and had to make major changes to the tiers because last time we met, the NBA committee was 2 weeks ago. The Nuggets were in a class by themselves. Now the Nuggets season's on the brink. So
yeah,
who is atop the tiers? I am Nick Wright, filling in for Kevin Wildes while also being Nick Wright. Chris Broussard, you're here. Brew, who do you think should be atop the tiers?
Brew's Wolves.
Brew's Wolves.
I mean, you know they're what? Brew's team.
They are Brew's Wolves.
Brew's Clippers is done.
It's extinct. What? At least.
Brew's Timberwolves.
I need you so badly today, I'm just going to let you have that. All right, so to the show. The Thunder. We didn't talk about much in round one because they rolled the Pelicans.
Or all season.
But you know what? To be fair, that is true. They won game one big at home, holding my large adult Slovenian son to just 19 points on 19 shots. He's now shooting under 23% from three this postseason. Here's Luka on his struggles. Take a listen.
We've talked about your knee. You know, Oklahoma City is a good defense. When you look at your shooting night, you know, what went into that?
Who cares? We lost, man. We just got to move on to the next one. I got to be better. We got to be better and just, you know, we're known for game one struggling, but we got to focus. They're a great team, great defensive team, great offensive team, so it's not going to be easy at all. We got to play very good basketball and focus basketball for 8 minutes.
All right, I will admit on the front end, I was shocked by Luka's performance. Were you surprised by Luka's performance last night?
Luka is the caliber of player. Jokic, prime LeBron.
Yep.
To some degree, even still LeBron. Where I'm always surprised when they don't play well. You just expect them to have a great game. And you know it happens. Everybody, Jordan, LeBron, everybody's had bad playoff games. But I'm shocked when I see a guy like this have a bad game. So, yes. Now, we know he's injured. Credit to him. He's not talking about the knee. He's not out there, you know, making it obvious that the knee is bothering him. And like you said yesterday, Nick, we don't want to play the game of when he plays poorly,
it's hurt, the knee. And when he plays great, he's great.
Because he's had really good games. A game five, he was fantastic against the Clippers.
Yep.
He hurt himself in game three. So he can be better. I'll give you a few adjustments, not so much X's and O's, but just philosophical or just things they can do differently. Since Luka got hurt in game three against the Clippers, he sprained his knee, his three-point shooting has been abysmal.
Yes.
Now, if you have a leg injury, legs are an important part of your jump shot. So you would think that your long-range shooting is going to suffer. And here are the numbers on Luka since he had regular season 38% from three. first three games, that's not good, 30%.
But that's a couple makes away from being up to your average.
But since the injury, 14% from three, but he's still throwing up 9 threes a game.
10 a game.
Yesterday, he was 5 of 11 from two. And you look, he mid-range because of his strength.
Yep.
He still can score at will, I think, in the mid-range. So what I like to see him do going forward is to probably cut down a bit on the threes and get more in the mid-range. Second adjustment quickly, Nick. Kyrie, with Luka ailing, Kyrie's got to take an even bigger role, which he does here and there. He does it one half. He does it one game. He's got to do it consistently. Yesterday, he was efficient, 20 points, 14 shots, but I need like 24 shots.
So I agree with a lot of that. Now, I picked the Mavs to win this series. I actually said, a week ago that I think the Mavs can go to the NBA Finals. They can win the title. I am not disheartened by the game one loss because there's a bit of a like LeBron feel out game to Luka with the Mavs. They always lose game.
They're 0-5 under J. Kidd.
Right, and by the way, he's 1-6 in his career.
Luka period.
In game ones, the Mavs since he got there. But what was frustrating is last night he was. I thought, he's broken out of the slump. He's started the game really well and then went ice cold. And we can show you the numbers. First 5 minutes of the game, it's like, this Luka is going to have what is kind of a vintage Luka playoff game where he has like a 40-point double-double with 8 or 9 assists and just controls everything and then could get nothing going.
Would you agree? Because you're right. Like LeBron, you can actually see him feeling out teams
early. Seeing what's
I don't think that was a feel-out game by Luka. I think he just didn't play well.
I totally agree. I guess what I'm saying is he's used to being down 0-1. You know, and in fact, the only time he's won game one, they lost the series. That was when they went up 2-0 in Los Angeles on the Clippers, and the Clippers and Kawhi came back. But this was legitimately one of the worst playoff games of his career. It's the second fewest points, the third fewest rebounds, the fewest threes. It was across the board as poorly as he's played in the playoffs. And I think that the Mavs, especially without Kleba, who is an important loss for them because of the shooting he adds in the stretch five, not to invoke LeBron again, but there has to be an element of like LeBron and Kyrie on the Cavs when Kevin Love was out style, which is, listen, man, I'm going to have to control everything when I'm Luka, slow everything down. Kai, you're going to have to, save us on a bunch of possessions. And everybody else, make your open threes. But the only way that works is if Luka is exceptional.
Yeah.
The only way it worked in Cleveland was
LeBron didn't shoot a high percentage that series. I think it was 38% against the Warriors.
I'm not even just talking about the 2015 finals. I'm talking about any time that it was those guys together, right? Because 2015 finals, Kyrie wasn't even there except for the first game.
Right.
But your point about Luka not shooting 10 threes, when LeBron was doing that, he wasn't shooting a lot of threes. He was controlling the game, getting in the paint. And I know LeBron's more athletic than Luka is, but Luka's got a better mid-range jump shot, what I mean, than LeBron has. So I feel like this moment for Luka is so wildly important because I think Luka, SGA, Ant are all looking at the fact that Denver's on the ropes and saying, man, whether we're actually the best player alive or not, we have a chance to try to grab the claim to it by being the superstar on the champion. Yeah. And the Mavs' only path there, Brew, is if Luka's brilliant. I still think they can do it. But he's got to play way better than he did last
And it's
night.
Bigger for Luka. And I don't even think that's entering Ant's thinking because he's so young, right? SGA is just beginning to kind of be this superstar.
Yep.
Luka, because he was so good right away, it feels like he's older than he is, right? And it's like this year, Denver may be out. OKC is young.
Giannis
is the year.
Out.
Minnesota is probably just going to get better going forward with Ant. So this is, and you're right, the Eastern Conference is a mess.
Yeah.
So this is a great year for Luka to try to get it before, the future.
Absolutely. Or if the Nuggets are going to revamp next year and be in a better position like this, somebody could take care of them for you. All right, move on to the Thunder side of things. SGA. who's going to find out tonight. I think he finished second in the MVP voting for the league. Led OKC in points, rebounds, and assists in the 22-point win. It's basically, they've blown out their opponent in every playoff game except for the first one of the year. Here's Shea on their success. Take a listen.
We don't worry about all the statistics and the stats and how young we are. There's certain ways you win basketball games at a high level, and that's what we focus on. We try to get them done every night, and tonight we did so.
Anybody got any ideas of what's next?
Yeah, W got it carried away.
That was a game one bar.
Okay. Bro, are the Thunder finally starting to look like legitimate championship contenders?
Well, look, they meet the eye test. All right, they've got the MVP candidate. Yep. Like you said, he's going to finish second. I voted for Luka. Luka's going to be third. But they got the MVP candidate in the SGA. And that MVP candidate lives in the lane, the mid-range. Like, he can get into the paint and score seemingly at will. But surrounding him is the best three-point shooting team in the league.
Correct.
SGA is not a big three-point shooter.
No.
But
he's
they
a big
led
free throw shooter.
Right. Yeah. He gets fouled. Yeah. They led the league in three-point shooting. So when you got a great player who can get into the paint and is surrounded with three-point shooters, that's great. Defensively, we know they were top four, five in the league offensively and defensively. Yeah. So defensively, number one. And last night, they were swarming. It was like, and you saw tweets from ex-players and people coming out, like, these young boys are like, and they're talking about OKC and Minnesota. And what they have are great individual defenders. SGA, I had SGA on my second team all defense. You know, because I think now, just a quick tangent.
Sure.
A lot of times now when you look at the all defensive teams, or you look at a lot of the analytics-driven media that's voting, they're going to pick a lot of non-stars, a lot of specialists.
Yep.
And that's for Herb Jones, Jaden McDaniels. Those guys are great defenders. But in the past, the Jordans, the LeBrons, we still got to consider some of these stars for these all defense. You know what I mean?
Yes.
Defensive teams. And so I had SGA. SGA is a great defender. Lou Dort, like, great individual defenders.
Chet's long and yes.
Absolutely. But they also are on a string because they're well coached. Oh, Coach of the Year, Mark Daigneault. Yeah. So their defense is stout, and as you said it, you got the rim protector when all else fails. So they meet the eye test in just about every category. You know what test they don't meet? They fail.
The age test?
The history test.
Yeah, sure.
The history test. We've never seen this. And, Nick, it's not we've never seen this century. It's not we've never seen this since the merger.
It's ever.
We've never seen this in the history of basketball. That interview that they did yesterday, he started off, we didn't show it, saying you're the youngest team ever to win a second round game.
Okay, sure.
Second round game.
Yep.
All right. And look at this. We're talking about winning the finals. These are the youngest five teams to ever win a finals. OKC is 24 years old on average. And so they would be the youngest team ever to win a championship. And what you notice about all those teams is the last one to do it this young, or even close to this young, was the Lakers 44 years ago.
Right. And that Lakers team, by the way, had
Kareem.
Kareem in his apex of his prime and Magic, who didn't miss a beat. And then the youngest team to ever do it was Walton's Blazers, also in a time where the league was a little different because the
it
NBA
had just
and
merged.
It just merged.
Yeah.
And so it's just the 70s are kind of the oddest decade in NBA history. So that is the only thing working against them. So you said it. I'll just reiterate it. Number three offense, number four defense. They don't turn the ball over. They're the best three-point shooting team by percentage. The only thing they don't do well is rebound, like from an analytical perspective.
Right.
That's the only thing.
Right.
The only basketball reason is the rebounding. And then there is one other basketball question, which is, so SGA, I made light of it a bit. SGA, just so people understand how often he gets to the line, it's not only that he led the league in free throws, He shot exactly as many free throws this year as LeBron James and Paul George combined. Okay? And both those guys played 70-plus games
right,
this
right,
year.
Right.
Last night, he had like 11.
Correct. And last night, I didn't think either Western Conference playoff game was poorly officiated, but they were officiated so differently. I'm talking about from the Minnesota-Denver game, what felt like one sport, and last night felt like, you know, basically first month of this NBA season, we're going to call everything. So my concern is if OKC doesn't get, if they don't get a whistle, you know what I mean? Where it's like, hey, we're going to let you play. How much does that hurt them? And yeah, it is just the age. And I
that's
don't
really
think,
the only thing you can.
But I don't think that is a bad reason not to believe in them. I know Thunder fans will be like, what more can we do? Right. And the answer is honestly, probably nothing other than make history. Like, whenever you're trying to be the first team or the youngest team or the oldest team and doing it, there's going to be, even though they have, I mean, they've won 10 straight games now. You date back to the regular season. A lot of them by blowouts. They've done, they handled their business to get the one seed. They did all that. Speaking of handling business to get the one seed, Boston won comfortably. Jaylen Brown and Derrick White led the way, as they have really the entire postseason. Tatum struggled shooting again. 7 of 19 from the field, 0 for 5 from 3. He's been the Celtics' third leading scorer this postseason. He's yet to have a 30-point game. Brew, is there any reason to be concerned about Tatum?
Yes, because let's face it, the Celtics' goal is not to win the East. It's not to get to the NBA Finals. They will – now, obviously, any team that gets to the finals and loses will be disappointed. But most teams, too, look at it like –
it's a hell of a year.
Right. Like, oh, wait till next year. Yeah. If they get to the finals and lose, particularly as we're talking about, if Denver's not the team to beat them, then they – I mean, it is going to feel like they got beat in the first round. I mean, really, if they were to lose to a Minnesota or an OKC, even a Dallas,
right.
They're, all those teams are young – and maybe even younger than the Celtics. Or
and
right,
none of them had
OKC.
Close to the regular season they
right.
did.
Not, right. Or have been knocking on the door for 5 years
right.
to win a championship. So, and I said all that to say they can't win the championship with Jason Tatum playing like this.
Yeah.
Now, to his credit, he has been rebounding. He's averaging over 10 a game in the playoffs. So he's been defending well. He leads the Celtics in assists with about 5 a game. So, credit to him, he's not letting the shooting slump get to him and stop him from doing the other thing. So I'll give him credit for that. But they need him to step up for a few reasons. One, we'll see what Porzingis is like when he gets back. They're lucky Derek White has played so well, but is he going to shoot 50% from three throughout the playoffs? And here's the other thing, Nick. Jason Tatum is their best player. Jason Tatum is their MVP candidate. Jason Tatum is their first team All-NBA player. If they get to the finals and he's like been the third guy, he's human.
It won't work.
You see what I'm saying? You're human.
I totally
it
agree.
Can mess with you.
Especially
do you
when,
start trying to do too much?
Right, especially when whomever you meet in the finals, it's going to be because their best guy has been annihilating people.
Right.
Whether it's Ant SGA if the Mavs get
he
on a run.
He might be younger than you.
Right, or Joker if the Nuggets turn around, whatever it is. So this is, we can show you Tatum's numbers. Because it's what I understand the Celtics have been blowing people out. I don't, so you can be like, well, he doesn't need to score more than 20. It's the percentages that are the concern.
Yep.
It's not that, he's playing low minutes, he's not taking shots. It's the percentages. And this is why, if I may defend my pal Colin Coward for a moment, because I agree with him on it, that folks that say Tatum is a all-NBA caliber guy, he is an MVP-ish candidate, but he is not in the same tier as the guys in the debate for best player in the world or even in that periphery. It's because of what you said at the beginning about Luka. Like, hey, great players, we're surprised when they have a bad game. Great, and Tatum is a very, very good player. But the best guys never have 6 games like this.
Yep.
Never. You know what I mean? In a row in the postseason.
Right.
Where it's just like, you've been subpar for 2.5 weeks. It just doesn't happen. Now, it happens to literally everyone else in the world.
Right.
And so this is why Tatum is somewhere from the 6th to 10th best guy in the league. And I don't think fairly considered 1 through 5. The problem is, for the Celtics, theoretically, is whomever they face in the finals is going to have somebody in that 1-5 group, and can, you know, can your whole overall unit overpower it? All right. Now let's get to the suspension that wasn't. A bizarre situation here. So the league's ruling came down last night in Jamal Murray's antics from Monday night. He was fined $100,000, wasn't suspended. Brew, you said he definitively should be suspended. Are you surprised he won't miss any time? And do you think the Timberwolves have a legitimate gripe here?
I'm not completely surprised. All right, I said yesterday he must be suspended. Yeah. He definitely should be suspended. But I'm not surprised because we know that the Nugget, I think, if this series is 1-1, he might have been suspended.
If it's 2-0 Denver.
If it's 2-0 Denver, he might have been suspended. There's a part of me, only a part, because there's a part of me, and I said it yesterday, that's glad he's not suspended. I want Denver to have a legitimate chance, right, to dig out of this hole. But even that part, this just doesn't feel right. It doesn't sit right. There is no justification for him not to be suspended. You can rationalize it like the league is doing, saying, hey, you don't know his intention. Was he slamming it in frustration and it slipped and went all the way out onto the court? I mean, the damage that could have been done from something like this. I'm sorry, and we've seen, not under Adam Silver, but under David Stern, his predecessor, we've seen series change.
By things way less egregious than this.
Absolutely.
Guys meandering off the bench, whether it's Amari Stoudemire or half the damn Knicks team. Right, yep. They had to suspend guys in game 6 and then 7 because they couldn't field team. Now, I get that was a lifetime ago and a different commissioner. But this is egregious, and this is where I think the Timberwolves do have a gripe. Rudy Gobert, who plays for the Timberwolves, got a $100,000 fine for doing this to the refs. Jamal Murray did that.
Right.
He did. So are you telling me Gobert could have then, after that, chucked a couple items on the court during live play and the fine would have been the same? Like, and I just, I'm not a slippery slope guy. I think that's typically a bad argument. Yeah. It means you have a weak argument. But I do think this opens the door a bit to where if someone on the bench is someone, a bench player in particular, you know what I mean? Someone's taking a corner three and you throw your towel. Like, what is
the You set a precedent
that this isn't a suspendable action. This is a finable action.
And this is in the playoffs, not even just the regular season.
And it was two items. That's the other thing I can't get over. He threw the towel, realized, damn it, this towel's not heavy enough. It's not getting there. Give me something with some weight to it and threw that. That's wild.
It is terrible. It is absolutely terrible.
It's good for basketball. It's good for this series that we can see him full strength, but I think it's the wrong precedent. All right, coming up next. Has Joe Burrow already peaked? Listen, I don't write these scripts. I'm just reading Wilds Road.
Wasn't this your idea?
Next on FS1 and the Fox Sports Channel on SiriusXM. What's up, everyone? It's Nick Wright, and I got something exciting to talk to you about today. Angie, your ultimate destination for getting all your jobs done well. Now, Angie isn't just your average home services marketplace. It's a game changer. With over 150 million homeowners served and a network of over 200,000 skilled pros, Angie has experience and expertise to tackle any project with ease. Whether you're looking to spruce up your backyard or undergo a major home renovation, Angie's got your back. And their pros are locally based, often running small businesses right in your community. And here's the best part. Angie makes the process seamless, from researching and comparing pros to scheduling services at your convenience. Angie's user-friendly platform puts you in control. So why settle for anything less than perfection when it comes to your home? With Angie, you can trust every project will be completed with the utmost care and professionalism. So get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today to discover why homeowners across the nation are turning to Angie to get all their jobs done well. Greg Jennings is here for the first time in forever after skipping my wedding. Good to see you, Greg.
you missed a great one, Greg.
I mean, by the way, I know it's like, oh, it was in Kansas City.
Go.
It's hard to get to.
Here you
Greg
go.
Was literally in Kansas City for a different event. Didn't stop by for a
break.
Don't worry about
Greg
it. I know, it's unbelievable.
Again.
Joe Burrow, back on the practice field. He also skipped the wedding. I don't know why he didn't RSVP. After a season filled with injuries, here's Joe Burrow on how he's feeling. Take a listen.
Felt good the last 2 days, so I don't really know how it's going to feel until I wake up the next morning, but I was encouraged by the last couple days, for sure. Like I said, I'm in a good spot right now. I'm really strong, you know, bigger than I was. We're going to continue to eat right, lift, and go through my routine and see where I'm at. My why is always just continuing that drive for greatness, continuing that drive every day, trying to improve. You know, I'm addicted to getting better.
It's a great quote. Hair looks great. It's good to have Joe Burrow back. Greg, do you think there's any chance that we've seen the best of Joe Burrow because of the accumulation of injuries?
No, I don't think there's any chance we've seen the best of Joe Burrow. If Joe Burrow is committed and he's saying he's addicted to getting better, like then that entails him health-wise, not just what we see on the football field. So when I listen to Joe Burrow, I know what he can do on the football field. It's a matter of, can you consistently stay healthy to elevate the level of play around you? We know we've seen him do it, but we've also seen Patrick Mahomes first time out, 50 touchdowns. Did he peak? No. Statistically, we don't know if he'll get back to that, but he's evolved into such a dynamic player. He always makes the guys around him better and improves their situation. That's what Joe, because he's available, that's what Joe Burrow has to show. Not only us, but those guys in that locker room, that I will be available because he has now been injured two of his four seasons, and there's significant injuries.
And they're all over different parts of the body, right? You've dealt with the calf, you've dealt with the knee, you've now dealt with the wrist of his throwing hand, which is the concern. Go ahead.
Look, I love Joe Burrow. Fellow Ohio boy.
Yes, that's all right. Ohio
love that.
Mafia stand.
I love that he went to the Bengals, right? Remember, everybody was saying, don't go, don't go.
Sure.
He not only went there, but turned them around completely. Now they're a contender. So I love what he's about, the swagger, all that. But, Greg, I disagree. Yeah, it's possible. It's possible because obviously it's all about the injuries. But the injuries are strange. The calf injury last year, he's just rolling out in practice, all right? And then the wrist, where'd that kind of come from? Seemingly a mystery, right? There are some guys in all sports that, for whatever reason, physically seem to have a bunch of injuries. We talk about Anthony Davis and guys like that in the NBA. He seems like he may be one of those guys. And if you look at his last 3 years, he has declined. All of these, completion percentage, yards per pass, TD percentage, I could also have yards per game up there, passer rating, they've all declined over his last 3 years, healthy or not. And so, we've seen it with Carson Palmer, with Andrew Luck. I mean, I know he retired early,
I think it's a legitimate worry for a number of reasons. So Bruce's point about them being strange, also them, people probably don't quite remember this now, but after he hurt his wrist, there was then the weird video of him wearing the splint beforehand, and then the Bengals were like, nope, total coincidence, had nothing to do with it, he wears that because he's flying on an airplane, that stuff. But the very specifics of this injury, Dr. Jesse Morse, who is not a fake internet doctor, a real doctor, but who has a public following, wrote about it and said, this specific type of injury makes dart throwers motion, meaning this, very difficult to do, which is the follow through for a quarterback. And then this is the part that concerned me. Joe Burrow's the only professional quarterback that they have ever seen documented with this specific injury. So that then does throw things into question. And it also, and I hate to try to reiterate the point from last year, but the other reason I worry about Joe Burrow is because I think I sometimes more worried about him than the Bengals. Because the Bengals let him go out there the first month of the year when he couldn't roll out, when he couldn't move around, you know what I mean? And to me, put him in more jeopardy. And so when you add that to the fact that he is probably not going to have more talent around him moving forward than he did right when he came into the league. How successful he was right when he came into the league. Do I think it's in play that that second year when he led the NFL in yards per attempt, had a 108 rating, led the NFL in completion percentage, and they went to the Super Bowl, that that's the best it ever gets? Of course I think it's in play. I think it would suck and be sad, but of course I think that's in play.
So I think we're on the same page as it pertains to him being injured. If he continues to go down this road of injury, then yeah, possibly. However, if you're saying what you just said, those stats, those numbers that you just read off, if Joe Burrow is healthy, healthy version of Joe Burrow, we've seen the peak of Joe Burrow?
I think that it is in play that even if he is healthy, he is not physically as able as he was before the injuries, and that the numbers come down when T. Higgins inevitably leaves, when those things. Like, I do think that's absolutely on the board. I think Joe Burrow was, you guys know this, I was one of the only people arguing he's the second best quarterback in football, not Josh Allen. I have massive respect for the guy. I think he's a great player. I just think that there are a lot of concerning signs and an injury to your throwing wrist.
Right.
Now, listen, Purdy had the injury to his throwing elbow and just had a great year. So I'm not acting like it's a death knell, but I think it is highly concerning.
And I get that he was banged up, but last year he didn't look great. And now how much of that was just the injury, or was he fully healthy in some of those games, you know, and just didn't play well?
All right, let's take a look at the odds to win the AFC. Number one, of course, the team that's won the AFC 4 of the last 5 years, won 3 of the last 5 Super Bowls, and is a budgeting dynasty. Then there's the Ravens. The Bengals and Bills are tied for third, and the Houston Texans are at plus 850 in fifth. Brew, who is most likely, if there is going to be a team to dethrone the Chiefs this season, who's most likely to do it in the AFC?
I do think Houston should be higher on that list, but my answer is Baltimore. Same as it was last year, because obviously they got Derrick Henry, and as good as their run game always is, it's going to be better with him. I think, Greg, he's going to open things up for Lamar's running, but also his passing. I mean, you are going to have to now worry about Derrick Henry. And I also think that they learned from that AFC championship game. Be who you are. Do you. All right? Run the football. They stopped doing it. Lamar, I don't know if he was trying to prove something last season, and obviously with MVP, but trying to prove that he can be more of a pocket passer. I think this year they're just going to play to their strengths. And defensively, I know they lost some guys, but their culture is defense. Defense and running the football, and I think they're going to play to that. So, yeah, I got Baltimore.
You mentioned Houston needing to move up. They need to move all the way up, because this is the team that I feel like that can dethrone the Kansas City Chiefs. When you look at this team and what they were able to do with a rookie quarterback last season, rookie head coach, and missing pieces, defensively they struggled a bit, but they had the rookie of the year. Offensively, you had the rookie of the year. Those two pieces are in their second year, heading into their second year, coming back. You then address pass rushing. You get a couple of defensive ends. You get a linebacker. You get an added receiver in Stephon Diggs. You get Tank Dell back. You add all these pieces. You get an offensive lineman to support and to protect your greatest asset. Why would it? I believe anything different than Texans are the favorite to uproot the Kansas City Chiefs.
So, Houston was also my answer. So, and I'll add one other thing. They're also, in my opinion, far and away the team on that list most likely, if anyone's going to have a better record than the Chiefs, to where they have the home field because of the division.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like Cincinnati, I'm not saying that necessarily Houston would head-to-head be better than Cincinnati or better than Baltimore, but I think the difference between Cincinnati or Baltimore in the playoffs having to go to Kansas City, I know Joe Burrow won in Kansas City once, rather in Houston being able to host that game because they have the best record, and also, like, there's only been two archetypes to beat the Chiefs in the playoffs with Mahomes. Employ Tom Brady, or how the Bengals did it, which was some similarities here. Stud quarterback in year two with a loaded team around him. And that's what the Texans really are going for it. The Diggs trade signified that. Some of their offseason moves bringing in Danielle Hunter. And so And the Chiefs, to be fair, we don't know any of the details of it, but there's an investigation right now into whether or not Rashee Rice did something else this offseason. If that investigation turns into something more than just investigation where there's charges, then he's looking at potentially a lengthy suspension.
Yes.
And so if there were to be a team that would be able to knock them off, I think the youth of Houston, and I don't know where you guys stand on this, I also think there is a benefit to C.J. Stroud never having been beaten by Mahomes. Like, doesn't have – I think everyone else on that list, the last playoff game they played in was ended by Patrick Mahomes. Lamar, Josh Allen, Joe Burrow, all of them, their most recent experience in the playoffs, they're walking off sad. Patrick Mahomes celebrating. So I wonder if that plays
in Houston's favor. That's a valid point. When you're going up against a team or a player that is deemed the best, the greatest, the GOAT, all the things, but you haven't had your shot at them, that wasn't me. That was against all those guys. So you're right. C.J. Stroud is thinking like, yeah, I can take him down.
All right, coming up next.
Y'all
how many
Ravens hate?
How many NBA guys could play in the NFL? And how mad will this conversation make Greg Jackson?
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of steel tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now, save $30 on the American-made steel FS56 RCE trimmer. Real steel. The FS56 RCE is made in America of U.S. and global materials. Offer valid through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
Austin Rivers was on the Pat McAfee show yesterday, made some NFL players pretty mad, and also invoked an unbelievable rant by Chris Long. Shout out to him. It was great on his podcast. Here's what he said. I can take 30 players right now in the NBA and throw them in the NFL. You cannot take 30 NFL players and put them in the NBA. All right, let's talk about the first part of that statement. I can take 30 players in the NBA and put them in the NFL. I think he almost has a point. Where do you stand,
You look
Greg?
Ticked off.
I'm not ticked off.
That face looked like you were upset.
At this part, because he does have a point. Like, I could see some guys in the NBA right now being able to play in the NFL game. How long they last, and if they can play for an entire season, obviously changing their body, that all matters. But if we were to take them as they are, the shape that they're in, the physical abilities that they currently have, there's a few guys. There's a handful of guys.
Let me add this to what you said. I agree. I think 30's high.
30's too high.
I think 30's way too high. Between 5 and 10.
I made a list. And I even gave him positions.
I did. Okay.
I made a list and I gave him positions. Can we see if we can show? Jaylen Brown, I put at defensive end because that's what Chris Long said. Anthony Edwards, I'm going to play running back or safety. Aaron Gordon's going to be a Jimmy Graham style tight end. Josh Hart with his rebounding and toughness. And I was like, you know what? You can be a wide receiver 3. LeBron, defensive end or tight end. Younger LeBron, not age 39 LeBron.
For sure.
Russell Westbrook, running back or safety. And I'm not being a jerk here.
Yeah,
I mean this about Zion. I think Zion, with his
tackle?
Feet. Yeah, if he put on weight. Is Zion?
Well, that wouldn't be a problem.
Right. Well, he's 6'6". A crazy athlete, nimble feet, Jason Peters style.
He could definitely be an offensive tackle. I think he could be a tight end.
I was going to say tight end.
He's going to have to
tight end.
He might have to, I guess, maybe lose a little weight. Offensive tackle maybe gain a little weight. But those are the seven I came up with.
Well, I'm going to give you a couple more. I agree with those. Gordon, 6'10".
Oh,
that's tough.
Oh, so I didn't
think you
get
hit up in here.
I agree with you if he's a true 6'10". I thought he was closer to 6'8 and a half. Okay.
If he's
6'10 is too tall. You can cross him off.
I'm going to throw in, I have no idea if these dudes ever played for Donovan Mitchell and Jalen Brunson. They're built a little bit. They're 6'1", which doesn't seem big in basketball, but in football, could they be a defensive back?
Again,
a safety?
Again, I understand the professional athlete mentality.
Yeah.
So it's they're all going to say, "Yeah, I can do that." Now, respectfully, do I feel like I could play it in my time? Do I feel like I could have played in the NBA? Absolutely. But out of respect of what those guys do, I would have to say,
Hey,
let me tell you about this kid right here.
He ain't passing.
Hey, no.
He ain't passing.
No, neither was Kobe. Neither was Kobe. But he was getting buckets. Look, it's straight, a straight bucket getter. If you want a bucket, put me in.
So can I ask you a question then on this before we move on? I think there are more guys in the end. I think there are a handful of guys in the NBA, just a handful, who if could go to the NFL after call it a year of training and be excellent. And be like, you know what I mean? I think Anthony Edwards could be excellent. I think LeBron in his peak could have been excellent. Do you think there's anyone in the NFL that could be an excellent NBA player?
Excellent.
Because to me, because to me, the height and there's so much parts of being a great basketball player that's more skill than athleticism.
Can I say something quickly for you? I think a guy like you, and I don't know why you chose football over basketball, but I think a guy like you, and there's several like you in the NFL, right, that were great college or high school basketball players. If they had chosen basketball and continued to play it, I do think they could have been in the NBA. I don't think an NFL guy could step right in like an NBA guy might be able into the NFL and do it.
I agree with that. Now, so for me, when I look at NFL guys, currently how we're configured, like it's tough because the size in the NFL is different than the size in the NBA. So like Myles Garrett, we all see Myles Garrett playing and dunking and doing all those. But all that. He would be
undersized.
He would be Charles Barkley, essentially, in the NBA. And I don't know if he could be
that
version. Exactly. Yeah. I don't know if he could be the
version
of Charles Barkley.
Well, that's the problem. The problem is if you are under 6'6 and want to be excellent in the NBA, you have to be so elite at either ball handling
ball
or
handling, shooting.
And which is not really it's not about your raw, pure athleticism when, again, and I'm not trying to downplay what it takes to be great at the NFL, but I watch Anthony Edwards and I say, I think he'd probably be pretty, kind of awesome at everything. You know what I mean? That's about raw athleticism.
Look, let Ant tell it. Yeah. If it got a ball,
I'm going to be great. Coming up next are the Chicago Bears. At the bare minimum, that was intentional, headed to the playoffs. We'll discuss that next. Hey, it's Nick Wright, and Father's Day is just around the corner, and you know what that means. Finding the perfect gift for your dad. As a father myself, I know it can be tough to pick the perfect gift for any of us. This year, ditch the tie and give him something he'll really love. The gift of Omaha Steaks. Omaha Steaks brings five generations of family-owned expertise, which means quality you can trust. That's why Omaha Steaks has a 100% money-back guarantee. Some of the best meat in the world, some of the world's best beef, naturally aged for unbeatable tenderness, juiciness, and flavor. Omaha Steaks sent me a box of my own to try, and I could not be more excited to fire up the grill with my family this spring. Little known fact about me, the last and only actual job I've ever had was selling steaks door to door. That's a true story. Back in, when would that have been? The summer of 2002, 2003, I was a door-to-door steak salesman in the greater Kansas City area. Maybe I'll tell that story longer form on the air one day. But back to Omaha. This Father's Day, Omaha Steaks has put together the perfect package for listeners of First Things First. The deluxe Father's Day gift, which includes Omaha Steaks, butcher's cut top sirloins, juicy boneless pork chops, deli-style gourmet jumbo franks, and their legendary Omaha Steak burgers. All of this for just $89.99. Head over to omahasteaks.com and use the promo code FIRST at checkout to get four additional burgers absolutely free. That's right, 24-mouth watering entrees for just $89.99 when you use the promo code FIRST at checkout. Don't wait till the last minute to get Dad something he'll love. Go to omahasteaks.com and use the promo code FIRST for the perfect gift for Dad this Father's Day. New era of Chicago Bears football has begun after drafting who some people call Mahomes 2.0. Again, 2.0 doesn't mean better, it just means updated, Caleb Williams, and who some people are calling
updated
AJ Green 2.0, Rome Odunze. Here's Odunze on their potential. Take a listen.
With Caleb throwing the ball, there's so many different avenues of the offense that we can explore, especially with the wide receiver core with such versatile receivers. You know, there's no limit to what we can do. So, you know, I'm super excited to dive into the playbook and unlock the master plan that they're going to have for us.
All right, Greg, start with you. Is there any chance, barring injury, take injury out of it, that the Bears underachieve this year, in your opinion?
No. Yeah. There's no chance.
So what like does that mean? Playoffs?
This team, they can make the playoffs.
When at least if they win, they will be in position to
make the playoffs.
Yeah.
Like, based off of what I saw last year, the moves that they made with getting Sweat and then their defense and the trajectory that their defense or the jump that their defense made, offensively they could never really get into a rhythm and get going. However, when you insert Caleb, assuming – no injuries. You got to believe he's going to be able to get those guys the ball. You got Keenan Allen. You got Cole Kmet. You got DeAndre Swift in the backfield. You obviously got DJ Moore. Rome Odunze, a guy who he's coming in with, which I love that they paired a quarterback and receiver so they can grow together. They're going to come in believing in one another and wanting to make sure that each other thrive. And like, he's coming in with something to prove. I know he's drafted one overall, but when you ship out a quarterback that you drafted in the first round and you tell your entire fan base, nope, this is our savior, he's coming in and you have everyone kind of doubting and questioning, well, are you really going to do that to this guy and what have you? He's going to come in to prove that they are right and to make sure that he changes everything about what the Chicago Bears have been.
Brew, before you go, can I say your first sentence for you? I like Caleb, but now go ahead.
That was going to be in there.
Okay, I knew it was going to be in there. Go ahead.
I'm saying this to the Chicago Bears and you too.
Okay.
Do less. Do less. Say less. All right, we got the quarterback talking about immortality. Talking about chasing Tom Brady. We got the receiver talking about there's no limit. Really?
Yeah.
Do less. Yes, there is a possibility, and I do like Caleb, but there is a possibility that they underachieve. Great. This is all on Caleb. It might not be fair, but when you're the number one pick and you're the prodigy from college onward, if not high school, this is what it is. They have everything else. I agree. The defense obviously looked good at the end of the last season. You got a heck of a receiving core. You got DeAndre Swift as a running back. The line's not bad. It's on Caleb. And I think there are going to be some growing pains. I think it's easier for a quarterback that steps in that is kind of a on-platform guy than an off-platform guy to step right into the NFL. And I think when you look at I think growing pains are coming, and then that division, is Detroit going somewhere?
No, but I don't think
is that, Green Bay
here's
going
the thing about
and Minnesota
division.
Is much like the Bears, right? Where, oh, they got some pieces.
So here's why the division doesn't concern me as much as does you. I do think that Detroit's very good, and I think Green Bay could be very good because of their offenses. I don't think there is a top 12 defense in the division. I don't think Detroit's an excellent defense. I don't think Green Bay's an excellent defense. I know Minnesota's not. And I don't think Caleb needs to be great for this team to win 10 games. I think if Caleb has the 14th best season of starting quarterbacks, this is a double-digit win team because of the weapons around him. And we can show you real quick, Greg, DJ Moore and Keenan Allen last year.
Yes.
So now assume Keenan's going to go down because he's getting older. But now you also add in Rome Odunze to that. And DJ was doing that with Justin Fields playing quarterback with respect to Justin.
What we're forgetting is last year this team was second in rushing offense. Yeah. Like that's the quarterback's best friend. To be able to turn around
and run yards with Justin Fields.
I totally understand that. But Caleb can get out and scramble. He's not Justin Fields, but they're going to run the ball.
Y'all saying there's no possibility.
What I'm saying is, and I probably should have said this at the beginning, I think there is a better chance the Bears are playing in the conference championship game than the Bears are bad. I think that there is a better, because I look around the NFC, I think there is a better chance that the Bears have an excellent year where we're like, oh my God, what are they doing, versus the Bears like, oh, they're 5-12, what happened? I really feel that way. I'm really high on the Bears right now.
Who was the last rookie to make the conference championship?
Brock Purdy. You should have known that he's your guy.
Oh, really?
I actually set you up here.
I wanted to hear you.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of steel tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now, you can save $20 on the Steel MS-162 or MS-170 chainsaw. Real Steel. Offer valid through June 30th, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
Live from New York, it's time for hour two of First Things First as Kevin Wildes furiously emails Elon Musk and try to get all those Denver Nuggets tweets taken down. In the last half hour of the show, is Dak Prescott Super Bowl bound? And more importantly, do the Joneses actually think he is? Or are they setting him up to fail a little bit this year? Also, how many points does Jalen Brunson need to score for Chris Broussard to consider maybe possibly he's better than De'Aaron Fox? We might find out tonight. But first, it's Wednesday at 4 o'clock, which means it's time for tears. Kevin Wildes always has a really great introduction for this segment.
Are you going to intro yourself?
I thought that would be a little self-aggrandizing, self-important, and you guys know if I'm humble if nothing else. So I didn't want to do that. But I also didn't want to, befoul Wildes' reputation. So I said, who can we ask to step in? Here's Colin Cowherd.
Wow.
Let me get you caught up to speed. Last night, while desperately trying to nurse Wildes back to health, a select committee of analysts, intelligentsia, and one guy wearing a heating pad fought and toiled and burned the midnight oil to deliver the best segment in all of sports media. It's an honor and privilege. It's time for Nick's Tears. You better deliver, buddy.
Thanks so much, Colin.
I love
well
Colin
done.
That.
We appreciate Absolutely. That. Down to just eight teams Absolutely. On the tiers because there's only eight teams left, so let's get right to it. At the bottom of the tiers, stuck in the middle. So this is the Cavs. Tough decisions ahead this offseason, I think. They probably should make some significant moves. Donovan Mitchell could force their hand. Remember, ownership has been like, oh, Donovan's going to resign. Yeah, Donovan is asked. Yeah. I was like, oh, I don't know about that. Yeah. Only 1 year left on his deal. They are a good team. They're obviously a good team. But can you ever see this core being a great team? I can't. So this is stuck in the middle, some tough decisions. Missing their star, the Indiana Pacers. Now, what's unfortunate, unlike the Heat, whose star was out injured, or the Bucks, whose star was out injured, their star is there. His name's Tyrese Haliburton, but they're still missing him. Oddly, they've really been missing him in the last couple months.
Right.
Ever since he came back from the injury, he has been a shell of the player we saw the first month and a half of the season when it looked like he was going to be first-team All-NBA.
Is he even
Game one of this playoff series, he had 6 points on six shots. Mm-hmm. The second half of game one, he had one field goal attempt, three turnovers. It was a
little
bizarre.
And they may win that game.
Right. It was a bizarre performance. Yeah. For them to have any chance in this series, he needs to recapture at least a little bit of what he had at the beginning of the season. Massive recalibration from dynasty talk to what changes do we need to make? That could happen within 10 days. Wow. If Minnesota sweeps them, can they just run it back next year? If Minnesota runs them off the court in this series, can Denver just, what are they going to say was the reason? Because Reggie Jackson turned his ankle because Jamal Murray was 100%. Now, maybe that would be an overreaction, but I know we were having the discussions about where Jokic is going to be in the pantheon. Could the Calvin Booth of the Nuggets talked about, we're not just, our focus isn't necessarily on repeating, it's building a dynasty. Well, I don't know, I know this, some of the biggest games of Nikola Jokic and Jamal Murray's lives are coming up here in a few days. Next, Jake LaMotta. scrappy, hard-nosed, New York City-based. Not sure how you keep doing it. Probably a little extra love and legend because of where you're from, but a team, much like the boxer made famous by De Niro and Raging Bull, hard to take your eyes off of. You know that it's going to come down to the final minutes. I encourage you to watch the whole Knicks games, but also if you don't, it's going to be tied with 3 minutes left. And some weird stuff's going to happen at the end, and Thibodeau's right. going to seem furious, and Josh Hart's going to be hyperventilating. I know that's going to happen. Next, waiting for the Luka leap. Listen, the only chance the Mavs have is if Luka has a brilliant month of basketball. They didn't need him to be great against Bruce X, the Clippers. They do need him to be great against any team they have left. Kyrie, I feel like, shout out to Kyrie for me being able to say these words. Kyrie's very reliable. Like, I kind of know what we're going to get from Kyrie, but I don't think Kyrie has the ability to all of a sudden average 40 for a 3 or 4 game stretch like maybe he could have in his heyday in Cleveland. But I think he's going to give you 25 to 35 most games. They're going to need Luka, particularly without Maxi Kleber out there, to be brilliant. If not this year, listen, Boston, you deserve more credit than you've gotten on this show. I will say that. You had a historic regular season, all-time great margin of victory. You won the conference by a dozen games. You've played one bad playoff game. And so you deserve credit for all of that. But in a year where Embiid was compromised, where Giannis was out, where Jimmy Butler was out, where Jokic might get knocked out before you have to deal with him, if you don't finish the deal and win the title this season, how can anyone say next season or any season with this group of guys is going to be different? And by the way, you decided this is going to be your team when you gave Drew Holiday into his late 30s that giant contract extension. LaVar Ball. Never lost and not that respected. So this is what we mean. Like, they're literally undefeated in these playoffs. They are beating. They're on a 10-game winning streak. They have a number 3 offense in basketball, number 4 defense, best 3-point shooting team. They don't turn the ball over. And I am yet to see one pundit in a world where every take exists, including the best thing for LeBron James' basketball legacy is to stop playing basketball. That take exists more often than this take. The Thunder are going to win the title. I haven't seen it. It's a unicorn take. Yeah. But they are undefeated. And then, last but not least, Greg Jennings attempting to rewrite history. The Timberwolves are attempting to rewrite Nikola Jokic's history, the Denver Nuggets' history. They are also attempting to rewrite what it means to be a great 22-year-old in this league. Because the greatest 22-year-old as far as carrying a team that we've seen was LeBron in 07, right? The 48 special, getting that Cavs team to the finals and then get summarily dispatched by the Spurs. We've seen Kobe as the number 2, Magic as the number 2, even though he was brilliant throughout. The idea that you could be the best player on the champion at 22 seemed impossible and has been impossible. Anthony Edwards trying to change that, and that is the committee's tears. Mm.
I like the tears. I'm going straight to the Nuggets. Massive recalibration. I understand where you're headed there because of what the Timberwolves are doing, but it's just that. You see where the Timberwolves are? They're at the top of the tiers. They're making this Denver Nuggets team rethink who they are. And at the end of the day, this is a really good team. They just happen to be playing a team that is younger, more athletic, that is scrappier, hungrier, that does not care, that realizes last season we were without a couple of our guys that are making a massive difference in this series this year. And so I don't think that there needs to be a massive calibration for the Denver Nuggets. I just think that they run into the wrong team at the wrong time. Nikola Jokic is having the most difficult time playing at and dictating the pace of which he normally plays than we've ever seen him. We've never seen him like this. Jamal Murray, obviously, I mean, he might as well be suspended because he hasn't shown up for the first 2 games. So for me, this team just needs to get back to who they are. They understand what it takes to win a championship. They just did it. Just play ball. I'm not saying they're going to win.
No, I
understand. I think they're above the Knicks, and the Mavs.
Okay, that's fair. I think the Knicks and the Mavs have a better chance of being in round three, even if they're not as good as Denver. So that, but what your point is fair. Like, it depends on how you want to look at the tiers. You mentioned something that I do think has been glossed over, and it's just words repeating. When they played in the playoffs last year, Naz Reid had just gotten hurt, and Jaden McDaniels, you know, unfortunately punched a wall and broke his hand. And so, and even with that, and I know the Nuggets won in five, Brew, but people were like, oh, Minnesota, you know what I mean,
had played them
tough. And now you see how much better it is. You know, all those things, I think there is something really there. Go ahead, Brew.
You have come off the Mavs awfully quick.
What do you mean?
You got them a lesser chance than the Thunder. I mean, if you got the Thunder ahead of them, that tells me you got the Thunder winning the series.
It's a committee, Brew. How many times do we have to tell you it's a committee? There's my vote. Counts.
I don't know. My source on the committee.
Exactly. The committee. My vote counts double, but it can't overtake the entire committee. You don't believe in Luke as much as I do. Go ahead.
All right. Well, I'm moving the OKC below Boston and Dallas.
Oh.
All right. I'm moving Dallas. Or Boston to number two, Dallas to number three.
Got it.
Like we've talked about it, OKC has to rewrite history. Dallas, Mavericks fans, don't be shaken from what happened last night. This is what you do. Under Jason Kidd, they are 0-5 in the first game of a playoff series. And of the previous four series, they came back to win three.
Yep.
All right, they looked horrible against the Clippers in game one. Obviously, we know how that series went. So Dallas, I think, will be fine and has a great chance to win this series. So I'm moving them ahead of OKC. And, of course, Boston. Look, Derek White is stepping up, playing unlike we've ever seen him. I think Jason Tatum is going to find his shot. He's still playing well in other areas. Remember, Kristaps Porzingis is coming back. So now that White has been unleashed, I think that's just going to make them even better when Kristaps gets back for probably the conference finals and you would think certainly the NBA finals. So I got to move Boston and Dallas ahead of OKC.
That's fair. I'll also say we should say when we're talking Celtics, we've talked about Derek White playing the best ball of his life, Tatum struggling shooting. Jalen Brown's been consistent throughout and deserves credit. Greg, it looked like you were about to say something there.
I'm just shocked that he's moving. So you're saying the Mavs are going to win series?
He doesn't. He's got the Mavs. Like, I have the Mavs.
Mavs.
No, Brew's T-Wolves.
They're his T-Wolves.
No, they are. I missed it.
Did you see the show yesterday?
Did you see? Uh-huh. Well, I've been watching
the show and listening to you with all this Brew's T-Wolves.
No one else, including you, because you're still making appearances here and there. Uh-huh. All right. No one else a week ago was saying Timberwolves,
Greg,
except me.
I think Greg,
now you got everybody Greg after game
there.
One. Oh,
Greg,
he wasn't
Greg's
saying
a season ticket.
You know what? I feel
you
slighted because
you were picking the Timberwolves.
I was picking the Timberwolves. Yes, I was.
Over the Nuggets.
And you would have known if I'd have been on your radio show that you don't want to have me on anymore.
Oh, wow. All right.
Because
this
you don't want me talking for you.
Coming up next.
You're going to bring you
on. Do the Cowboys actually believe in Dak Prescott? We'll discuss that next. First things first.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
All right, now to the Cowboys. Dak's still under contract for just this season, but that hasn't shaken Stephen Jones' alleged confidence in his quarterback. Here's the younger of the Joneses on Dak. Take a listen.
I totally think Dak can lead us to a championship. He does everything the right way. He's certainly the leader of this football team. You know, we're hanging around the rim. We've just got to go up there and grab it, to use a basketball term and dunk it in. And we're hanging around the rim. We just got to get the job done.
You guys are both basketball guys. It's a great analogy. I don't know why you're making that face.
Because they're not hanging around.
They're right around the room. They're right around. They just have no offense. They can't goaltend, but they just need to dunk it in. Greg, can I know since I'm doing Wild's thing today, I should just throw it to you, but can I give you a theory that I said yesterday and see what you think about it? Because yesterday we were talking about the Cowboys not signing a running back, and Steven was basically like, I know no one likes to hear about it, but it's salary cap. He's like, we didn't have the money to go get, was it Derrick Henry they were talking about? I think it was. And I said that I think that the Cowboys ownership is not sold on Dak. And they would rather risk this year going awry than tie themselves to Dak for the next 3 or 4 years by giving him a contract extension and have him not improve. And that the reason that they didn't sign a running back, the reason that they haven't kind of borrowed from the future by changing contracts around to upgrade this year's team is they want to see what Dak looks like without everything around him being perfect. We lost a couple offensive linemen. Rookies are going to step in. We lost our running back. We'll do running back by committee before they then in this coming offseason make the decision of, are we going to make Dak Prescott the highest paid quarterback in the NFL history? Which to me, I don't actually think is necessarily bad business. But it says to me the Cowboys ownership right now is not at all convinced. If they were asked this question we're asking you, is Dak a Super Bowl caliber quarterback? Their answer would be, I don't know. And I'm going to use this year to find out. Does any of that land with you?
It does land with me. I mean, look, I expect to hear them say that, yeah, Dak can get it done for us. Right. I do not believe they believe that. Okay. I sincerely believe, similar to what you just said, but when watching that playoff game against Green Bay and understanding all the talk that always is looming above and around this Cowboy organization as it pertains to getting beyond the divisional round, just simply getting to the NFC Championship game, when I watched them play, Dak looked shook. They didn't have his receiver lost confidence in him immediately, yelling at him. He didn't look like he was in control of that offensive unit and that team. None of their stars actually stepped up to make plays, including Micah on the defensive side. It was like they can't get up over the hump. And so with that being said, and that being the case, I truly believe there's some reality check happening with the Jones family saying, okay, is he a good quarterback? Yes, he's a good quarterback. I just don't think he's the guy that's going to get us over the hump. Wow. That's where I think they are.
I agree with both of you, and this is why you don't talk about the Super Bowl every week of the offseason and the season, just unless you're the Chiefs, right, where you've done it. They created this feeling where everything is so big that a Dak did get shook. And probably a lot of other players on that defense got shook as well. Now, I agree with your theory, Nick. I think I believe more in Dak, and I'm not like the hugest Dak fan. I believe more in Dak than I think the Cowboys do at this point. Because I do believe you can win a Super Bowl with Dak Prescott. He's not a Patrick Mahomes or Josh Allen. He's not a tier one quarterback. But if I've got a top seven-ish defense or top seven-ish run game, and I've got a top defense, then I think Dak Prescott can be that game manager plus that can win a Super Bowl. And I bet you, if the Cowboys do, if this is their plan, let's go see what he can do without less than great circumstances. Yeah. And he doesn't play that well. And he goes to another team. If he goes to a team in a good situation that's more stable and it's not all the drama of the Cowboys, I think he could win the Super Bowl there.
Well, so I think I think Dak Prescott, it clears the bar of if he's your quarterback, can you win a Super Bowl? I think unequivocally the answer to that question is yes. Mm-hmm. I think he does not clear the bar of if he's your quarterback making top of the market money can you win a Super Bowl? I don't think he, because you're not going to have that great talent around him. And that is where I think the Cowboys' hesitation is. I think the Cowboys know, because they could have, he has a $55 million cap hit this year. They could have cleared almost all of that up with an extension,
yep,
and then signed guys, been in the Saquon or Derrick Henry sweepstakes, done more things, but that would have then meant, this is our quarterback the next 3 or 4
and
years.
He's
going
to have to cover holes and that we no longer have.
Right. And so I think they are, I truly believe they are using this year as almost, I don't want to say a test, and they're not throwing it away, but like, hey, if we sign Dak to an extension, it's going to be a lot of teams like this one where it's not a perfect situation, where we do have some holes. So let's see what he plays like under those circumstances before we opt into it for the next 4 years. I think that's what's going on. And I think more people would acknowledge that if they were less convinced. That everybody's so convinced Jerry Jones thinks, oh boy, I don't know how much longer I'm going to own this team. I think Jerry Jones thinks I'm going to live forever. I think Jerry Jones thinks I'm going to own this team for the next 15 years, and that's why he's operating the way he is. All right, coming up next.
That's that news.
Is
Philly's winning the NFC.
Okay, it's not about the
division.
That's
exactly what he said.
How many games in a row does Jalen Brunson have to score 40 points before Chris Broussard will say he's better than Caris LeVert? We'll do that next. Warmer, sunnier days are approaching, so fuel up for them with Factor's no prep, no mess meals. Factor will help you meet your wellness goals just in time for summer, thanks to a vast menu of chef-crafted, never-frozen meals with options like Calorie Smart, Protein Plus, and Keto. These fresh meals are ready to eat in just 2 minutes. So no matter how busy you are, you'll always have time to enjoy nutritious, great-tasting meals. Variety? They have that. Factor has 35 different meals and more than 60 add-ons to choose from every week. Working on wellness goals? Factor has you covered with dietitian-approved meals and ingredients you can trust. How do they taste? They're delicious. From breakfast to dessert, stay fueled with easy, nutritious, and delicious options. What about quality? Each Factor meal is restaurant quality with premium ingredients like filet mignon, blackened salmon, and shrimp. So start spending less time in the kitchen now because you don't have to shop, prep, cook, or clean up. Make today the day you kickstart a new healthy routine. What are you waiting for? Head to factormeals.com/firstthingsfirst50 and use code firstthingsfirst50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next month. That's code FIRSTTHINGSFIRST50 at factormeals.com/FIRSTTHINGSFIRST50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next month while your subscription is active. Like, comment, rate, subscribe to the First Things First podcast and our YouTube channel. And while you're at it, go ahead and subscribe to What's Right with Nick Wright on both platforms as well, and The Odd Couple.
Yeah.
Chris Broussard and Rob Barker. Let's do it all. Tomorrow, you don't want to miss the Bud List. I hope Wilds doesn't miss it. I hope he's feeling better. Yes, do you think he actually has the flu, or is it the Nuggets flu? What do you think?
I think it's a combination.
Combination of the two? All right, now time for medals. First, Derrick Jones Jr. with the Mavs' best moment of the night. Great call by Ian Eagle on it, by the way. The Mavs, of course, ended up losing. Now, to the medals. Bronze, Derek White. He's just red hot, man. 25 points, 5 assists. In a game that there was a brief moment with a couple minutes left in the third. I was like, oh, this might become a game. Cavs had cut it to 12, had a 3 to get it to 9, and then all of a sudden it was 22 again. Silver, Jaylen Brown. 32 points, 67% from the field, 6 rebounds. A blowout win. And then, of course, the gold, SGA, 29-9-9 in a game that the Thunder had, honestly, full control of for the entire, basically the entirety of it. There's the podium from last night in the association. All right, bro. Pacers-Knicks, game 2 tonight at the Garden. Do you expect another 40-piece from Jalen Brunson?
No, I don't. I mean, he can't keep scoring 40 every playoff game. Now, look, And this is not to discredit him at all, but he's the offense.
Yes.
Right? Julius Randle obviously isn't there. They need him to be huge. With all due respect to Josh Hart, he's your second leading scorer. So he's going to get in the 30s.
Yep.
But I don't believe that he will have another 40-point game. I got to say this to the Pacers, too. I got to give them credit, and I think you will, too. You've been watching them. They're like last two games against Milwaukee, and then game one, their defense has improved.
100%.
Right?
They play at a crazy high pace. So yeah. The games are high-scoring. Their defense was better.
Much better.
I worry the Knicks, at some point, the injuries become too much. You lost Julius. Then early in the playoffs, you lose Bogdanovich. Now no Mitchell Robinson. So that's three of your top front court guys. You're already playing your guys 46 minutes a night. So
it's a lot to ask.
I worry about the Knicks in that regard.
40s? Is he dropping 40?
43. Wilds, wow. Feel better. Speak up next. Hey, it's Nick Wright, and Father's Day is just around the corner. And you know what that means. Finding the perfect gift for your dad. As a father myself, I know it can be tough to pick the perfect gift for any of us. This year, ditch the tie and give him something he'll really love. The gift of Omaha Steaks. Omaha Steaks brings five generations of family-owned expertise, which means quality you can trust. That's why Omaha Steaks has a 100% money-back guarantee. Some of the best meat in the world, some of the world's best beef, naturally aged for unbeatable tenderness, juiciness, and flavor. Omaha Steaks sent me a box of my own to try, and I could not be more excited to fire up the grill with my family this spring. Little known fact about me, the last and only actual job I've ever had was selling steaks door to door. That's a true story. Back in, when would that have been? The summer of 2002, 2003, I was a door-to-door steak salesman in the greater Kansas City area. Maybe I'll tell that story longer form on the air one day. But back to Omaha. This Father's Day, Omaha Steaks has put together the perfect package for listeners of First Things First. The deluxe Father's Day gift, which includes Omaha Steaks, butcher's cut top sirloins, juicy boneless pork chops, deli-style gourmet jumbo franks, and their legendary Omaha steak burgers. All of this for just $89.99. Head over to omahasteaks.com and use the promo code FIRST at checkout to get four additional burgers absolutely free. That's right, 24-mouth watering entrees for just $89.99 when you use the promo code FIRST at checkout. Don't wait till the last minute to get dad something he'll love. Go to omahasteaks.com and use the promo code FIRST for the perfect gift for dad this Father's Day.